Hello and welcome to the CNBC TV18 podcast. This is called All About the Polls with CNBC TV18, and we've got a very special guest with us today, Sean Trent of Real Clear Politics. He's a senior polling analyst over there. Sean, thanks very much for speaking to CNBC TV18. It's been a high voltage campaign all coming to an end today. Just give us a sense of what's at stake in this election.
Well, first, thanks for having me. I'm honored to be able to participate in this. You know, the stakes in this election, I think, are pretty high. As I think everyone in the world probably knows, Donald Trump's presidency has not been a typical presidency. And that's probably the central promise of Joe Biden's campaign, is something of a return to normalcy. He shied away from some of the more aggressive stances the left has wanted him to take in our country. And so, you know, I think if he is elected, we will see kind of a calming to a degree in America. If Donald Trump is reelected, you know, he will be unconstrained by concerns about being reelected. And I think it's very unpredictable what a second term for him would look like.
Also, just explain to us, Sean, that even though a candidate may win the popular vote, he may still lose the election. This happened in 2016 with Hillary Clinton. How does that happen?
It's happened a number of times in U.S. history. It happened in 2000. It happened in 1888. It happened in 1876, 1824. So in the United States, when our Constitution was drafted up, they didn't really trust people to elect presidents directly. And so what they did was they set up this thing called the Electoral College. Basically, every state gets a certain number of electors that are apportioned by the number of residents of each state. And whichever president wins that state, the popular vote in the state, wins all the electors, with two small exceptions we won't go into, wins all the electors for the Electoral College. And so because of that, if a president gets 70, 60% of the vote in states like New York and California, which Joe Biden is likely to get this time, those extra votes are wasted. And if they get very close to flipping Texas, but don't flip it, those votes are wasted. And so Democrats waste a lot of votes right now, which makes them more vulnerable to winning the popular vote, but losing the Electoral College.
Right. So we've heard more than 100 million American voters have already voted in this election. So what's the percentage compared to the number of votes polled last time around, Sean?
It's an extremely high number of votes. The last time, I believe about 130 million votes were cast in the election. I can't do the math that fast in my head, but I think it's something on the order of 80% of the votes cast. And we have some states where the total number of votes cast have already approached or exceeded the 2016 vote total. So we think this is going to be a very, very high turnout election, which with the total number of votes cast potentially getting up to, you know, 150 to 170 million votes.
So that's very interesting. You're saying that almost 83% of American voters have already voted. Means the election is almost decided. But what are the polls really saying? These early votes, who are they favoring?
So I need to clarify, it's 80% of the total votes that were cast in 2016. We think turnout's likely to be higher in 2020. So it's probably more on the order of about 60 to 70% of the total votes cast this time around. Obviously, we won't know that for a couple of days till all the votes are counted. But so far, the early votes, you know, we have party registration in a number of states, and it looks like they've been strongly favoring Joe Biden. If you look at a state like Pennsylvania, something, a key state like that, something like 70% of the absentee ballots have been cast by Democrats. That also, though, reflects the party strategies. Democrats have really emphasized absentee and early voting, while the GOP emphasis has been on Election Day.
Also, to speak to you about the number of voters who are still left in terms of casting votes, how many voters need to go out today?
Like I said, I think if you look at 100 million ballots already cast, if you believe it's going to be between 50 and 70 million, or 150 and 70 million, that math I can do in my head. That's about 50 to 70 million ballots to be cast today. So that's unusual. You know, we don't typically have that many ballots cast early and by absentee vote, but COVID-19 has really kind of upended the electoral calculus here in the U.S.
So who needs a bigger turnout today? Is it Donald Trump or is it Joe Biden?
Absolutely Donald Trump. In a state like Pennsylvania, where he's probably down by a million votes right now, he needs a lot of Republicans to come out and vote. Now, as I've said, a lot of, you know, most of the Democrats in the state have already voted. So it really is a question, can Donald Trump squeeze Republicans out of everywhere in the state to try to get turnout in that state up to, say, 8 million, 7.5 million votes? And that's a universe where he has a chance of winning. He needs heavy turnout.
Right. And which states will really matter? We've been tracking about 11 or 12 swing states, but which ones, according to you, will really decide the result?
So I think if you asked 100 elections analysts what the key states were, you would get about 11 to 12 states listed. But there would be a commonality. The Venn diagram, if you will, would have six states in common. And those would be Florida, North Carolina, Arizona, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. That doesn't mean that there aren't other states that could flip. You know, you could see Minnesota or Georgia or even Texas flipping. But those six states are the core states that are likely to decide who wins or loses the election.
Right. Also, Sean, which states does Donald Trump really need to win in case he wants to secure an election victory? Does Donald Trump have a path to victory right now?
He does. He absolutely needs to win Florida and North Carolina. If he doesn't win those two states, he is done. But beyond that, that only gets him up to about 200. That gets Joe Biden down to 290 electoral votes. So Donald Trump would have to do something else. He would have to win Pennsylvania and one of the maybe Arizona. Maybe he surprises and flips Wisconsin. He has paths to victory, but they're all dependent on him winning Florida and North Carolina.
Also, we've also heard how the Supreme Court has allowed at least two states to count absentee ballots till 3 days and 9 days after the election. We're talking about Pennsylvania and North Carolina. Could this delay the election result?
It could. Now, to clarify, those states have to be postmarked by election day. You have to have taken your ballot down to the post office and gotten it marked like it's been turned in. You can't turn in your ballot after election day. But then if it takes a couple days to get down to the state board of elections, that's fine. That will delay the election result if it's a close election. With that said, some states like Pennsylvania or like Florida, you know, the ballots have to be in today. So we will know probably by the end of the day today whether Donald Trump has lost or won Florida. And that'll give us a good idea whether he's going to be the president or not in 2021.
And president has been threatening to mount a legal challenge. If that happens, how much can the election result be delayed?
So, you know, there is precedent for this in the U.S. In 2000, in the Bush v. Gore litigation, that's exactly what happened. The Supreme Court played a large role in determining how that election came out. There's no doubt that if this is a close election, Donald Trump is going to contest it, litigate it in court. At the end of the day, the United States, and this is way down in the weeds, I won't bore your readers, but we actually do have a fairly robust system for determining who wins a disputed election. And so I'm not so worried that we won't have a legal president on January 21st, 2021. It's a question of whether there's a legitimate president, a president that most Americans accept fairly won the election.
And we had seen a scenario in 2000 when the election result was delayed till December. Can that happen this time around? Is there any way that Donald Trump may be able to delay the pronouncement of the result finally?
Yeah, I can give you an example of this. In 2008, a Senate race, which is our upper house of our legislature, between Norm Coleman and Al Franken was decided by a few hundred votes. And to give an example, one of the ballots, someone had written in lizard people, but they had also marked it for Al Franken. And so one of the things courts had to decide was, how do we cast this ballot? Do we count it for Franken? Do we count it as a write-in election? If the election is close enough, those are the types of questions that we're going to be litigating for a long time, you know, through December, except it won't be a Senate seat on the line. It'll be a presidency.
And once this election has been finally decided, when I think it's usually by third night in the United States when most of the news channels call the election?
Yeah, this time I don't think that's as likely to happen because it's going to take a while to count all the ballots in places like Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, you know, these places that have a lot of absentee votes that have been cast. I think, you know, with Florida, though, we should have a good guess. If Donald Trump loses Florida, he's not going to be the president. If he's winning Florida by more than, say, 3 points, there's a very good chance that he's reelected president. It's if we're in that middle ground where he's won Florida, but the margin is very close, that we're going to have to start looking at other states to say, hey, you know, is he really, you know, can he pull it out in a place like Pennsylvania that's slightly more Democratic than Florida?
And once this election is done and dusted, when we have the trends by later tonight, what happens then? Does the new president begin work immediately? Is there a phase, or can he only begin work in January? What is the transition like?
So there's two things that go on simultaneously. The first is there is a lame, what we call a lame duck period. It's a charming little Americanism for when a president has lost, but he is still in office until January 21st. And Barack Obama had a very active lame duck period. He enacted a number of policies that had implications for Donald Trump's presidency. As the saying goes, we have one president at a time. And so Donald Trump will be president till January 21st. At the same time, during that time period, Joe Biden will be figuring out, assuming Biden wins, will be figuring out who he wants his cabinet to be, you know, looking at who he wants to be Secretary of State and filling various posts. He'll probably take a number of stances on a number of issues, depending how the legislative races play out. So there will be activity if the Democrats win on that side as well.
Right. Sean, it was interesting talking to you. Thank you for taking out time for CNBC TV 18, telling us all about the polls in the United States. It's probably the most watched election in the world. Thank you so much, Sean, for joining us. It's always great to have you on CNBC.
Thanks for having me.